Well, let's pray together and commit our time to God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are the everlasting Word. And one day every knee shall bow and acknowledge that you are Lord. We don't see that now, but we look forward to that day when you are given the rightful honour and praise. But how we thank you that you've worked in our hearts and you brought about a great change there. Once we went our own way, we were Lord of our lives, King of our lives, but now you are Lord. And we gladly acknowledge you as King and, of course, as Saviour. We do thank you for your saving power. Who can raise the dead but our God? Who can soften stony hearts but our God? Who can transform the heart but our God? Lord, you have done marvellous things in our eyes, and we give you all the praise. Where would we be tonight if you had not worked in our lives? We dread to think. Far away from this place, far away from reading your word, far away from singing your praises, far away from showing any interest in mission work or the work of the gospel. What a delight it is that we should find ourselves enthusiastically engaging in the things of yourself. And so we thank you for this great miracle of grace that has taken place within our hearts. Lord, thank you for your goodness to us already this day. Thank you for the ministry of your word this morning through Wes McNabb. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to spend a little bit of time tonight looking at your word again. Thank you too for the opportunity to spend time in prayer, and we trust that you will help us in our prayer time. There's so many needs in this world, inside and outside the church. And you have called us to be a people of prayer, and we pray that you would strengthen us and help us to be that which you have called us to. As we draw near to you, Lord, we pray that we might know a sense of your presence. It should be the great delight of your children to be found, as it were, in your presence, and may it be our joy and delight this evening. So we commit this time to you, and we do so in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn with me, will you, please, to 2 Kings and chapter 4, 2 Kings and chapter 4, and we're looking at the next little story in the life of Elisha. It's entitled Death in the Pot. We're going to read from verse 38. So 2 Kings chapter 4, starting to read at verse 38, Elisha returned to Gilgal. And there was a famine in that region. While the company of the prophets was meeting with him, he said to his servant, "Put on the large pot and cook some stew for these prophets." One of them went out into the fields to gather herbs and found a wild vine and picked as many of its gourds as his garment could hold. And when he returned, he cut them up into the pot of stew, though no one knew what they were. The stew was poured out for the men, but as they began to eat it, they cried out, "Man of God, there is death in the pot," and they could not eat it. Elisha said, "Get some flour." He put it into the pot and said, "Serve it to the people to eat," and there was nothing harmful in the pot. There are lots of interesting stories, aren't there, in the Old Testament? Lots of interesting stories when it comes to the life and times of Elisha, the prophet. When we read a story like this, perhaps we think to ourselves, what is God teaching us? Is God teaching us that we need to be careful if we go to a minister's lunch because the food there might be dangerous? Or is God teaching us that we need to be careful if we go to a church fellowship meal because, after all, who knows what has been put in the dinner? Well, I think we know the answer to those questions. So what is this portion of Scripture teaching us? Well, we'll give some thought to that in just a few moments. But first of all, I'd like us to walk through the text. Firstly, we see that the Lord's people are experiencing a famine. Verse 38, Elisha returned to Gilgal, and there was a famine in that region. A lot of the commentators think that this is the famine referred to in chapter 8 and verse 1. Let me read that verse to you. Now Elisha had said to the woman whose son he had restored, "Go away with your family and stay for a while wherever you can, because the Lord has decreed a famine in the land that will last 7 years." The Lord has declared or decreed a famine that will last 7 years. Why was the land experiencing a famine? I'm sure you know the answer to that question. The Lord had said to his people what would happen should they disobey him and engage in idolatry. But they had not listened. And one of the things that God said would come upon them was famine. And that seems to be what had happened. But of course, the Lord's people were caught up in it. The prophets at Gilgal were caught up in this famine. Well, secondly, we see the Lord's prophets with a deadly pot of stew. One of the prophets, as we see, we don't know his name, goes out into the fields to gather herbs, verse 39, and he finds a wild vine, and he picks from it as many of its gourds as his garment could hold. And we can imagine, can't we, him picking up his garment and filling it with a considerable number of these gourds. There were quite a number of prophets to feel that the stew needed to be of a certain amount. And presumably when he looked, it looked pleasing to the eye. And I dare say he thought or assumed that it would taste nice. But of course, these gourds were poisonous. And whenever I read this story, I'm reminded of someone I knew. I'm not going to tell you who it was. Went out one day to pick mushrooms, but of course, rather than picking the mushrooms that you can eat, picked the poisonous ones and ate them and made himself violently sick. I don't think he ever did it again. I think he learned his lesson, but one has to be so careful. But clearly, this prophet had no idea as to what he was collecting. And when he brought it back into the camp, no one else knew what they were either. They were also ignorant. And so he chopped up these gourds and they all went into the pot. And the stew was served. And this was the cry. "Man of God, Elisha, there is death in the pot." Commentators think that the type of gourd he collected looked like a small melon and was useful in very small amounts as a laxative, but in very large amounts proved fatal. Truly then, there was death in the pot. But thirdly, we see that there was healing for the stew. Elisha said, "Get some flour And he put it into the pot and said, serve it to the people to eat. And there was nothing harmful in the pot. Now, I think we ought to note a few things here. One, that there was nothing magical about the flour. I don't think that we should think that for a moment. Neither do I think that we should assume that the flour sort of drowned out the gourds so that they lost their potency. I would argue that the flour was nothing more than a sign. A sign. So that the prophets who witnessed what happened on this particular day would not forget what the Lord had done for them. You can imagine, can't you, these prophets in the years to come, sort of recalling this particular event. There was one of our school. He went out. He didn't know what he was doing. He put these poisonous gourds into our stew. And we all thought that we were going to die. But Elisha, the prophet of the Lord, he put some flour into the stew and all was well. You wouldn't forget that, would you? Not in a million years. But I'm sure at the end of the day, these prophets recognized that it was the Lord who had provided the healing and enabled them to eat the stew. Well, we come back to the question that I raised at the beginning. What is this passage all about? What is it teaching us? Is it teaching us that we should be very careful if we go to a minister's munch or a minister's lunch? No, of course not. So what is it teaching us? Well, I think there are three simple little lessons that we can learn from it. One, God is concerned to meet the ordinary daily needs of his people. God is concerned to meet the ordinary everyday needs of his people. See, God is concerned, isn't he, about our daily bread. In a little while, we're going to turn to the Lord's Prayer. And we know that in that prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, that we are to ask the Lord to meet our daily needs. Give us today our daily bread. God is concerned to meet the needs, the everyday needs of his people. And we've seen this already, haven't we? We only have to turn back to 2 Kings and chapter 4, where we saw the Lord wonderfully providing for the widow who was basically out of food and was soon to lose her two sons that she needed in order to farm her land, to provide her food for herself. It sounds such an obvious thing to say, but really if you stop and think about it, it's a wonderful thing to say, isn't it? God is concerned about our everyday needs. He wants to meet those needs. He invites us to come to him, to pray to him that he might meet those needs. Secondly, God is concerned to meet the spiritual needs of his people. What would have happened if they had eaten the stew, all of it? Perhaps they would have all died. Or perhaps the stew hadn't been made edible. Then what would have happened? Remember, this is a time of famine. There's very little food about. Is it possible that they could have starved? I think so. But then who would have fed the people in the land with the word of God? And I think you will agree with me that being fed with the word of God is even more important than our daily bread. There's nothing worse than a famine of God's word. But of course, these prophets had the responsibility of ministering the word of God. How wonderful then that they were provided for so that they could do that very thing. And then thirdly, God is concerned to call the nation to repentance. God is concerned to call the nation to repentance. There were lots of people in the northern kingdom, and I think we can argue that all of them would outwardly have been considered to be God's people. But not necessarily inwardly. Oh, many of them would have received the outward sign of circumcision, but they had not been circumcised in their hearts. Therefore, these people need to hear the word of God from the prophets so that they could exhort them to repentance towards God and faith in the coming Messiah. The Lord sustained these prophets in order that they might do the will of the Lord in calling men and women, young people and boys and girls to repentance. So there are three reasons, I would argue, for this little passage in 2 Kings and chapter 4. Well, we thank God for what he did all those years ago. Shall we just pray and commit ourselves to the Lord? Lord, we thank you for your word to us this evening. We thank you that all those years ago you provided for the prophets. They were your people and you were concerned to meet their need, just as you were concerned to meet the needs of that widow in chapter 4. We thank you that you met their needs so that they might go on serving you. We thank you that you used them to feed the people that belong to you, the remnant in the land with your word. But we thank you too that you used them so that they might call those living in the land to repentance and faith in the coming Messiah. Lord, we thank you that you meet our daily needs. We thank you that you give us food to eat and clothes to wear and shelters to keep the rain off our heads. But we thank you that you uphold and sustain those who are engaged in the ministry of your word. There were many pastors and church leaders that travelled up to Blackpool this past week for a leaders' conference. And many would give testimony to how you, over this past year, have provided for them in so many ways and met their needs in order that they might fulfill the responsibilities that you have given to them. And we thank you that you are such a good and faithful God. May your faithfulness, even this evening, inspire our prayers. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.